Open up to Luke 11. When I heard what the Lord wanted me to preach on this morning, I said, but Lord, they will stone me. They will stone me, Lord. And he said, no, they won't. And so here we go. I'm not even going to tell you the title till we're later on in it. Now we're just going to read. Is it okay if we read a little bit of the Word of God? Okay. I love the Word. I love the written Word. I love the living Word. I love the Holy Spirit who breathed the Word. And I love the Father who gave us the Word. Hallelujah. So let's just read here a little bit. Luke 11, starting in verse 1. I'm going to read it out of a real Bible. Okay, sorry. I'm teasing a little bit. Somebody... No, I'm not going to do that. Be nice. Be nice. And it came to pass that as he, of course Jesus, was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, well, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And let me just stop for a moment. We're going to read some more. Of course, this is identically the same prayer that's in that Matthew recorded in his gospel in chapter 6, what we commonly call the Lord's Prayer. And in Matthew's account, the emphasis there, Jesus goes on to teach about not living in fear of not having your needs met. He starts talking about consider the lilies, consider the fowls of the air. And so the focus in Matthew's account, close to that prayer, pretty much focuses on you learning to trust God for you. You learn to put your, you know, you learn your God is a good father. He's not just your God. He is your father. He is a provider. Amen. But here, right after this prayer, Jesus takes it one step, can I say, higher into maturity, that he's not only your father. You can learn to trust him for yourself or your needs. But listen, he's about to talk about, let me say it this way, us delivering the bread of heaven to somebody else who doesn't have any. Maybe they're not even born again. Maybe they don't know him as father yet. Because notice, the emphasis here is not on you getting more bread for you. The emphasis here is on how to get the bread to deliver to somebody else. Amen? So, in that context, let's pick it up here in verse 5. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut. My children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. And I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needs. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that receiveth, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father. How many fathers we got in the room? Be the same with mothers. Same with mothers. But he's trying to teach us about our Father God. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, and he just means compared to God, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now Jesus is equating bread with the Holy Spirit. You understand that? The delivery system from heaven is the Holy Spirit. He is the, in a minute we're going to get here, We're going to see a demonstration of this. And Jesus calls him the finger of God. And another place, he calls him the Spirit of God, Spirit of the Father. So when it comes to delivering the bread, there is no separating that from the agency, the co-laboring, the working of the Holy Spirit. I'm still not telling you the title. I will in a minute. Now, the reason for that is this very week, and I'm not going to mention her by name because we love her, but this is a case that's happening around the world. We lost a very dear friend this week to cancer, something I hate with a passion. I've had two rounds with the stuff myself, not as serious as what this friend had. And I'm not going to mention her by name, but this service is a testimony to her, okay? And lovely girl. Love God. Love people. Never said an unkind word to me or an unkind word about anybody in my presence. Now, she probably did. Because none of us are perfect. But not in my presence. What I'm saying is, wouldn't hurt a fly, much less a person. Love God. Always here at every service, you know. At this, and believed this. Never argued or fussed about the word. I know for a fact that she had friends that were helping her, more than one. I made some notes here. She said she loved God, served God. As far as we know, she would not hurt a fly, much less a person. I personally have prayed for her healing. I've seen Dave pray for her healing. I've seen Alan, Nathan. I'm sure there's many others that have done the same. We had healing cloths. See, people don't know. I know because they come to me to get them. There was more than one, I know, where they were prayed for, laid on her. She's in agreement. She's not fighting or fussing this or like Jesus doesn't heal today or anything like that. She's in agreement. I know I led her myself at one time for almost an hour in confessing the word over herself. So I know she knew to do that, and probably did do it as long as she had strength to do it. And we did all we knew to do. And she died of cancer. Nobody will ever convince me, ever, that that was the will of God. Sorry, I have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I have seen Jesus, and I have seen the will of the Father because I have seen Jesus. Now, I also know that girl's in heaven. She's sure not in pain now. But that's still not God's best. She had a life and a ministry ahead of her. Okay? Now, when this happens, and it happens, we have several, even in this church, right now, that are fighting the same thing. It may not be the same brand of cancer, but it's cancer anyway. And in life-threatening. Okay? And if you're hearing me around, and I'm, you know, if you're hearing this message, that's the reason I'm not mentioning. I don't want you to focus just on her. Listen, we got two more right now that I'm thinking of, and probably others that I'm not aware of, in your church, in your city, in your family. Okay? Now, when this happens, and you've seen it happen, I'm going to be 70 in January. When you see it happen, and you've seen it happen over and over, if you're not careful, life will start determining your doctrine. That's Mark 4. That's exactly what Mark 4 is. Cares of this world, afflictions. Can I just say trouble? All kinds of trouble, persecutions, afflictions, cares of this world, everything. And what's the purpose? To eventually choke the word. That the word becomes unfruitful. Now, here's the thing. I don't want to. Yes, sir. Now, our friend, this one, has been in heaven from our perspective a few days. You do know there's no time there. From her perspective, she may have been there 1,000 years already. Whatever the case, if she could return and have one more service, especially I'm thinking of the two that I know in this church right now are fighting the same disease. If she could have one, just could I have the pulpit? Just she walks through the walls. Now I know this is not going to happen. Okay, we're not. That's not supposed to happen. But this is a testimony for her. If she could come and say, Gary, can I have the mic? I just got to preach one message. Now I'm going to tell you the title. You know what her message would be? She said, I've been here. I've seen Jesus. I've walked with Him. I've seen the glory of the Father. Can I have just one message? Can I just have one service? I said, here, girl. She'd walk up, you know what she'd say? This is the title. Healing is easy. Healing is easy. And we'd all go, what? And she said, read Luke 11. That's what Jesus is saying. Healing is easy. Well, why don't we see that? Why don't we believe that? Because we're more moved by the gospel of the circumstances than we are the gospel given to us by the Word. God, I said that good. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I'm not that smart. This is what Jesus is preaching here. They're coming to Him and they're saying, would you teach us to pray? We notice you go pray. You may pray all night. You know, we'll see you go off by yourself and you'll pray. Then when you come out and you minister to people, it is like Shazam. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the maimed are made whole. We may get over here in a minute to the leper that came to Him. I mean, a horrible, horrible disease. Your fingertips fall off. Your earlobes fall off. Your nose may fall off. Your body reeks of death and stench, you know. And there's nothing anybody could do. But at least that man had enough faith to say, I know if you will, if you want to, you could make me clean. I can just almost see that hand shooting out like a rocket. Jesus says, I will. Be thou clean. And it says He touched him, which was against the law to do with a leper. Touched him. And immediately he was made clean. That's the way it's supposed to work. That's the way it's supposed to work when we pray. We're going to have to believe what Jesus said about healing regardless. I don't care if 1,000 fall at our left hand and 10,000 at our right. We cannot change the doctrine of the Word. We cannot change it. When times like this, you either give up or you press in harder. What would she exhort us to do? Press in harder. You don't get it yet. You don't get it yet. Healing is easy. Now let's look at it. Let's look at what Jesus said to us. Preaching good today. Hallelujah. I can tell. Got to preach on me today, not just to teach. Hallelujah. I'm mad. Can I say I'm mad as hell? I'm mad at hell. I'm tired of cancer taking my loved ones off the earth. Tired of it. We're not supposed to allow it. It came to pass. And as I say that, look at me. My hat is off to those that stood and fought and nursed and helped. That's the love and compassion of Jesus. I want those people in my corner. If I'm ever in a fight, you hear me? You hear me? Well done. But we're going on. We're going to stop this curse. We're going to stop it. Jesus already paid the price for it. It does not say that God seated cancer above every name that is named. Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. His name is above every name that is named, and that includes cancer. Now let's look at what Jesus said about healing. Now this one, what we're looking at today specifically, if I was going to teach about you receiving healing on your own faith, we would go to Mark 11. Because that's where you can receive on your own. This is not what Jesus is teaching here. Jesus is teaching to ministers here. He's teaching to the prayer center here. He's teaching, this is how you take the bread of healing from God's table, if you'll allow me, and serve it to the sick. We're talking about the healing anointing of the believer, where the believer lays hands on the sick and they recover. Well, if you're going to be a believer, you're going to have to believe what He taught. So let's look at what He taught. So they said, we notice you go off and pray, and then when you come back and minister, shazam, pow, things happen. Teach us to pray like that. So He leads them in the Lord's Prayer. And got to remember now, Jesus, He said, The law and the prophets were until John the Baptist, but since that time, the kingdom of God is being preached. So he is preaching the kingdom of God. There's been preachers say that this Lord's Prayer doesn't even apply to us today because the kingdom hadn't come yet. I'm sorry. He said, I'm already preaching the kingdom to you now. See, our will is when we find a situation like this where cancer is trying to kill somebody, what's our approach? Well, that's not God. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's not God. Our job is to come in, Father, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done here. There's no cancer in heaven. Your will be done here, just like it's being done in heaven. There's no cancer there. So that's the prayer, right? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth, just like it is in heaven. And he does give us day by day our daily bread. Well, thank God for that. How many of you are glad you're healed? Blessed? Saved? Had a biscuit or something for breakfast? Got another one waiting in the fridge? Hallelujah. That's good. Okay? And he wants us walking in forgiveness. Forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone that's indebted to us. And how many are thankful for the leadership of the Holy Spirit? He's not leading you into sin. He's leading you out of it. Amen? But now we come to the bread. He's going to answer this guy's question. I'm going to teach you how to pray. You like how I deliver the bread? I'm going to teach you how to deliver the bread. Now, here's what you got to know. So he said, which of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight? That's not by accident he chose midnight. Darkest hour. All hope looks lost. Midnight. Which of you going to go to him at midnight, a friend, and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Now get this straight. We are born again. We are children of the living God. We have righteousness working on the inside of us. Thank God for being born again. That is not where healing comes from. Healing comes by way of the Holy Spirit. Can you get that? Jesus said, it is not me doing the works, even from his own righteous self. He says, it is not me doing the works. It is the Father in me. He doeth the works. How do he do it? How do he do it? He do it by the Holy Spirit. He do it by the Holy Spirit. Amen? The bad grammar, but you got it, right? Okay? I am educated. I just don't talk like it. Hallelujah. People get it, though. Now watch this. He says, I don't have anything. I don't have anything to set before him. I'm coming to you. He said, which of you would have a friend like that? Maybe you, now he's using a natural analogy first. Okay, I don't have any bread. My friend come. He's starving to death. We don't have a crumb in the house. I don't have any bread to give him. So which of you, you know, you go next door to your neighbor. Would you loan me 3 loaves? I've got a guy who come. He don't have nothing. And I don't have anything to give him. But I know you got stuff to give him. Would you give me something that I can give to him? You got it? He says, which of you would have a friend that you went and did that and they'd say, don't bother me. It's midnight. Me and my kids are all in bed. Shut up. I don't care if your friend starves. See, this is the attitude that people have towards God. Because we live on this side. We live in this fallen world. We see case after case after case where it looks like prayer did not work and it looks like God did not want to heal and it looks like that. And if you're not careful, you'll get an attitude that God is like that. But one time I was going through here and I was reading this and he says, which of you has a friend like that? And it dawned on me. You know, friend. Which of you has a friend? Not just a neighbor, a friend. And I thought, I went, I don't have any friends like that. Not a friend. I mean, they may not be the happiest thing that I woke them up at midnight. But if they're my friend and I asked them and they had one, I don't have any friends that would turn me away. Do you? We don't even have an earthly friend like that. See, it's what he's trying. You don't have any friends like that. Not someone you'd call a friend. But we take that attitude towards God all the time. Oh, we know you have healing. We know you can heal. I'm asking you for healing. But then from all outward appearances, it looks like he didn't give it to us. Well, Let's see what Jesus said about it. Can we just see what Jesus said about it? Verse 8, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise. But I didn't know what that meant for you. You know what that really means? Now, I use the analogy of a friend. Let's say you did have a friend like that. Quote, okay, quotes, friend. Get off my porch, leave me alone, quit banging on my door, ain't giving you nothing. And you keep banging on the door. Give it to me. No. Bang, bang, bang. Shut up and go home. No. Bang, 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 bang. Give me bread. Give me bread. He may not give you the bread because he's your friend. He'll eventually give you the bread just to get you to shut up. And we tend to think God is like that. How many of you, you know, now I'm not trying to make fun of anybody. I'm just saying I was raised in all of this. I'm going to storm the gates of heaven. I'm going to storm the gates of heaven. And the picture being drawn, God's got healing in there. But he won't give it to me. I've got to storm the gates of heaven. It's almost like I'm going to arm wrestle. God, you will give me this bread. You will give me this healing. I will storm your gates. You know, it's the gates of hell we're supposed to storm against. Not the gates of heaven. You know? But Jesus knows that we tend to think like this. So he's trying to tell us what the Father's really like. He said, you think it's like that. But he says, look, I say unto you, what he's saying is God is not like that at all. Look at verse 9. This is what our friend would say if she's back. She said, I've been there. I've walked with Jesus now. I've seen the glory of the Father. I know him like I never knew him before. I am telling you, ask. Same thing Jesus says here. Ask. And it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. It doesn't get any more affirmative. There's not any stronger word than shall. It shall. It will. Absolutely. We've got to change our whole heart. We've got to change our whole attitude. We've got to understand the Father in a way that we've not understood him. We've got to believe this instead of what we've seen. The circumstances that are preaching a different gospel to us. Circumstances want you to believe that your Father's got healing and blessing and everything, but he's got it shut up in heaven, and you got to storm the gates and wrestle him and fast. And I'm all for fasting, but what I'm saying is give him a sacrifice of some kind, and finally he'll give you an eyedropper of healing. There you go. Give you a crumb of bread. Here, here's a little crumb. Make you feel better. Won't cure you, but it'll make you feel better. That is not our Father. That is not our Father, and we got to get over that attitude. And I don't care. I don't care what it looks like. I keep hearing that. 1,000 may fall at my left side and 10,000 at my right hand. I am not going to believe that trash. I'm going to believe what Jesus said, that if I ask, I receive. If I seek, I find. What's the other one? If I knock, didn't say storm. It just says knock on the door. Hello, knock. He's going, the door is open unto you. Hey, you and I could be, pretend with me. Me and Helene as billionaires. Well, just pretend with me. And we're in a major business meeting. I mean, we're talking, this is going to affect the lives of millions and billions of people. And we're having this major business discussion. And all of a sudden there's a knock at the door. And we're trying to have this major business discussion. Little knock. And I say, who is that? Who is that? Now, if it's some other business person or something, I don't know. Probably, you know, we're going to continue because our meeting is important. But I say, who is that knocking at the door? And they say, it's Lily Cakes. My little granddaughter. Helena, you and my meeting is going to be on pause. But this affects continence. No, we're on pause because Lily is knocking at the door. Don't you know you're his Lily? Don't you know you're his Lily? When you come knocking at the door, you think he's not going to open it for you? When you come in, Papa, can I have an ice cream? You think he's not going to give you an ice cream? And if you come in and say, I got a friend that needs an ice cream cone. You think he's not going to give you an ice cream cone for your friend? We have got to change how we see our Father. And we cannot build our doctrine based on what we see here. There's only one that's come from there. There's only one that's come to tell us what the Father is really like and to demonstrate Him and show. And He says, the only one that's been there. I mean, our friend, if she could come right now, she would say, because she's been there, she would tell us. But we have it in the red letters in our Bible from the one who has been there. And He says, I'm telling you, if you knock, I'm adding a little, if you knock, you're His lily cakes. He will open the door for you. You will get an audience. If you seek Him, you'll find Him. He's not really hiding. He may be playing, but He's not hiding. He'll have fun with you. And if you ask Him, you're going to receive. Now, He's talking about bread to give to a friend. I want to say it again. Healing. Say it with me. Healing is easy. I don't care what I've seen. I don't care the hell I've seen. I don't care the pain I've seen. Healing is easy. My Father is a good Father. He has healing for me. And He has healing for my friends. When I knock, He opens. When I seek, I find Him. And when I ask, He gives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's finish this up here. Jesus is just trying to get this down to Jane see the ball. It's so simple. He said, look, your Father's not like that friend that wouldn't give you at midnight. He's not like that guy. He says, if you ask, He'll give. If you seek, you'll find. If you knock, He will open the door for you. And the whole question is, so you can have the bread to give to your friend. So he gets it down, verse 10 again. If everyone, for everyone that asks receives. Say everyone. Say it. That includes me. I'm an everyone. When I ask, I receive. I'm an everyone. When I seek, I find. I'm an everyone. When I knock, He opens the door. Hallelujah, see? Then He just gets it down. Jane, see the ball. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that's a father, will he give him a stone? Can you imagine? My lily cakes. Cole just turned 13. It's my youngest grandson. If we were still in the Jewish family, we'd be having our bar mitzvah now, see? He's become, that's a celebration where like our child has become a man of age to participate in the family business. You know, my Cole comes and asks me for bread. I'm going to give him a stone. If he asks me for a fish, am I going to give him a snake? If he asks for an egg, am I going to give him a scorpion? I'm going to give him what he asked for. I'm going to give him what he asked for. Especially if he's asking bread. Not even for himself, but bread to give to a friend. I'd be so proud. We got to understand that's who our Father is. And verse 13 again, then he demonstrates this. Verse 13, if you then being evil, he just means compared to God, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. Now you've got, we use that a lot of times to help people get filled with the Holy Ghost. And I don't think it's totally wrong. He will give the Holy Spirit in the sense of baptizing you with the Holy Spirit if you ask Him. But that's not really the context. What the context is delivery of the bread. Delivery, like Jesus did it. To heal the sick. The blind to see, the lame to walk, so forth. And He says the agency of that. How God answers that is the Holy Spirit. He's the bread deliverer. He is the molecule changer. He is the manifester of God's Word. So here He gives an example. So verse 14. He was casting out a devil. And it was dumb. I used to think that meant stupid, but it meant that he couldn't talk. Probably was stupid too, but anyway. The devil, not the person. And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake. And the people wondered, I bet. But some of them said, here comes religion. Here comes human reasoning. He casts out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought into desolation. And a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. See, for me, it's so simple. John chapter 10. The thief cometh not, but for to kill, steal, and destroy. Jane, see the ball. Devil, bad. Kill, steal. And the context there is the blind man that got healed. So in the context, it wasn't God made that man blind. The thief cometh not but for to kill, steal, and destroy. It was sin that brought in death. And death, sickness and blindness and all of that stuff is part of that. Okay? So devil bad, but I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Devil bad, God good. Let's don't get the two camps confused. And that's what Jesus is saying. The devil doesn't heal. God doesn't make you sick. Get over yourself. Stop it. There's too much confusion. That's part of what causes the hindrances to healing. Well, maybe. No, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. God comes to give you life and more abundantly. And for the blind man, that means the blind can see. The lame can walk. The deaf can hear. And the cancer can be healed. Cast that thing out in Jesus' name. Give up or press in. Let's press in. Let's press in. Hallelujah. I think she'd be happy with this. If you want to read it again. If you let afflictions and the cares of this world determine your doctrine, those things will literally choke the Word of God. And it will become unfruitful. If you start letting that determine your gospel. Well, what's your gospel? Well, the cancer kills. And I'm not sure, you know, we prayed. I don't know. I'm not sure God wanted. Oh, shut up. Amen. Just shut up and read Luke chapter 11. Till it becomes bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. Till the Word becomes flesh in you. And you'll stop that mumbo jumbo. Devil bad. God good. Devil make you sick. God heal you. Jane, see the ball. Come on. This is Kingdom of God 101 stuff. See, I'm encouraging myself. I prayed for her. She died. What am I going to do? Run like a scalded dog? I'm going to bury my nose in this book, pray in the Holy Ghost until unbelief falls off of me. Till I know my Father well enough that I can get the bread and take it to the next one. Verse 17. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. The devil's not helping anybody heal anybody. Come on. That's what they were accusing him of. He's saying, oh, he's healing by the power of the devil. He says, Jesus wouldn't say you're dumb as a box of rocks. It's probably the theologians that said that. I bet it was the Pharisees that said that. You know? Religion will make you stupid. He says, man, Satan's not helping me heal nobody. Satan's not casting out no devils. If I by the Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But now look at this, verse 20. He just got through teaching up there. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, and the whole subject is, tell us how to get the bread, so that when we pray, we deliver the bread of healing to those that need it. And he says, well, that's going to come by the Holy Spirit. If you ask, he'll give you the Holy Spirit, and that's the bread deliverer. He just got through casting out a devil. Is that not a pretty good bread? If you've been dumb and can't speak, and it's because of a demon, and Jesus comes along and casts it out of you, and now you can talk, that's pretty good bread. When you say that's the bread from heaven, notice how he says he does it. But if I notice with the finger of God, he didn't say he did it, but if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. He just got through demonstrating what he was teaching there. He says, I'm not doing this. It's the finger of God. Another place, another gospel where the same incident is recorded, it says, the Spirit of God. If I by the Spirit of God cast out devils. It's the Holy Ghost. And it's just fully demonstrating exactly what he just got through teaching. He says, you got to understand your Father, he's more willing. He's more willing is not the right word. He is eager to heal the sick. He is eager to cast out devils. We have got to get that mindset on the inside of us. We have got to not just know about this. We have to know him. More and more Paul's prayer, and let's just look at it real quick. We may hold your place. We may be back there. Philippians. Not in my notes, but I think I know where it is. Yes. More and more, this prayer is just becoming my prayer. And this is by Paul, written while he was in prison. This was written during his first imprisonment. He'd been serving the Lord for quite a while at this point. He knew the Lord. I mean, do y'all think Paul knew the Lord pretty well? I think he did. But notice his prayer. And we're going to pick it up in verse 8. Philippians 3. Picking it up in verse 8. He says, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. What he means by suffered the loss, he's talking about his pedigree here. You know, an Israelite and of the tribe of Benjamin and so forth. Like he says, I count all that. That's all lost to me. I don't care anything about that. Verse 9, though, this is the part that just keeps rising up in me. There's two things in here especially. And be found in him. Be found in him. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness of God, which is by faith. So I especially the part to be found in him just keeps rising up. I want to be found in him. And the second part is that I may know him. That I may know him. Not know about him. That I may know him. And I believe it's Matthew 7:23 when he tells him, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those that do the will of my Father. And he'll come and say, didn't we prophesy in your streets and cast out devils in thy name? And he says, depart from me. I never knew you. Paul says, I want to be found in him that I may know him. I want to know him. And that's what Jesus is trying to get us to do in Luke 11 is to know the Father. And to know who our Father is. He's not that miserly person behind this closed gate in heaven. Meek, just very reluctant to give out any bread. That is not who our Father is. He is more eager to heal than we want to see it healed. He's more eager to get people free from devils. He's more eager to save. He loves that person that cut you off in traffic. He loves that person. He died for that person that was mean to you. You know, it might take us 3 days of prayer to come around to, oh, you want me to pray for him? But he loves him from the get-go. He's hoping you'll demonstrate Christ to him right at that moment. You're probably the only Christ that's been preached to him ever. that I may know Him. The rest of it's great. The power of His resurrection, yes, and the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death. But the two parts that are coming to me, just when I pray right now in this season, there's two things. Lord, I want to be found in You. Lord, I want to know You. I want to know You. The other thing that Jesus said there was, depart from Me, I never knew you. Thou that works iniquity. Paul, in his letter to, I think it's Timothy, he says, the Lord knows those that are His. And let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. God's calling us to holiness, people. He always has, but I mean it's time to deal with anything in your life. Anything in our lives that is not of Him, it is time to deal with it. Get rid of it. Let the if you name the name of Christ, amen, depart from iniquity. Amen. Press in to know Him and be found in Him. Amen. Again, that righteousness is not a righteousness only like a robe, like portrayed in the Old Testament. It is a robe of righteousness. We sing songs about it. But under the Old Covenant, it was accounted righteousness. And that's what Abraham had, and thank God for it. But if you peel that robe back and looked under there, you're going to see sinful flesh, because Abraham couldn't be born again. But you're not like that. It's not. We have that. We have that robe of righteousness. But if you've been born again and we peel back that robe and look at you on the inside, you are not some old sinner. You're going to shine like Jesus shone on the Mount of Transfiguration. You are the light of the world. He said, the light that's in Me, you will have it in you. When He says, not having My own righteousness, which is of the law is for the flesh. I mean, the law is for the lawless. You're not lawless. And He says, the righteousness which is of God by faith, it is more than righteousness like a robe. You are righteous from your core. You are righteous, and it's time to depart from iniquity. Back to Luke 11. Hang on just a minute. All right. Yes, sir. Okay. Go to Matthew 8. That's, if I go any further here, we're going to get into a different lesson than what He wants to focus on today. But do you see that He was casting out devils by the finger of God? The very same Holy Spirit He said God would give us to deliver the bread. Hey, a lot of people can shandai along. Thank God for Dave and praying in other tongues. I believe all that. I teach all that. But He's talking something different here. He's talking about, you know that when you go pray for that sick person, you have the power of the Holy Spirit to deliver the bread of heaven. And just say it again, healing is easy. We've got to get that. If that sentence strikes you like it does me, especially after this week, then I know I haven't arrived. My mind is not transformed. I think Jesus thought healing was easy. Not a problem. Whatever. Here, I remember coming, the blind man come to Him that time. And see, we just so assume things, don't we? You know, here comes a blind guy. Today he'd have a white cane, tap, 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 and dark glasses, tap, tap, tap. He'd come up to your prayer line, tap, 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 get right in the line. I'll just talk about me, not you. I would immediately say, I know you came up here to be seeing. I'm praying for you to be seeing. You know what Jesus said? Well, what do you want me to do for you? He didn't assume, did he? Well, what do you want? And when you read that question, it's like, you know, Jesus saw Himself as serving off the Father's table. So He's like he's like the waiter. You know, at a really fine restaurant. It's called the Restaurant of God. There's a buffet. There's a big table. I like buffets. Can y'all tell I like buffets? Anyway, I like buffets, you know. Got lots of choices, see. And Jesus has come up like that waiter in a really fine restaurant. And, you know, he comes up and maybe he's got his arm like this and that towel and everything. And he says, do you notice our buffet? We got a lot of things available for you. What would you like to have off my Father's table? God, we have got to be like that. What would you like to have off of my Father's table? What can I serve you today? Of course, that guy wanted healing, and he got it. He wanted his sight, and he got it. That's the attitude we've got to have. What would you have me do for you? Or you might as well say, what would you like to be served off of my Father's table? Because I have the Holy Spirit. I ask the Father, and I have the Holy Spirit to manifest anything you need off my Father's table. If our part is easy. Healing is easy. I think Jesus thought it was easy. It wasn't even him doing it. But he knew the Father, I think. I think he knew the Father a little better. And his whole point in teaching and demonstrating is so we'd know the Father. He said, have you been with me so long? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So all of this is to help us come to an understanding, like he already had the understanding of who the Father is. Okay. Where did I say go? Matthew 8. I did good. See, I've been meditating Matthew. I meditated. I like it all. Matthew 8. My goodness, what a chapter on healing. But I love this first one. But I love the second one and the third one. Anyway. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And there came a leper and worshipped him. I'm going to revert back to my Baptist roots for a minute, and it's okay. We're going to teach healing from this because it's obviously healing. But there's a type and a shadow here that's way beyond. Do you know every one of us, because of sin, we're lepers? Every one of us. We come to Jesus with the sin had made every one of us lepers in his sight. Now think about a leper. What did the leper do to get his own leprosy? Eat bad food? No. But leprosy, you catch from somebody else. All of us caught death, sin, from Adam. You didn't even commit sin the same way Adam did. You caught it. You came like a leper. Now let me ask you, especially in that day, is there anything that a leper can do to fix himself? Anything at all? Well, good works, given to the poor, going to church. Anything a leper can do to help himself or cure himself from his leprosy? There is nothing. And under that dispensation, it was illegal under the law, to touch a leper. It was illegal. Yet this leper, who had nothing to bargain with, he approaches Jesus first, and notice what he does in his leprous condition. Notice what he does first. He worships him. You come to Jesus with nothing. Just as I am without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me. The leper came with no offering. He just came and bowed down and worshiped him. And his faith wasn't perfect. He didn't know him completely. But he knew a little bit. He says, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Y'all know I love Smith Wigglesworth and his writings. He had a vision when he got saved of Jesus on the cross. And they said he just shouted for the longest time, clean, clean, clean. We all came to him like that. Nothing to offer. No way to fix ourselves. Nothing we could do. Wasn't even really our fault, but still we're
we've got it. That sin and death. Come to Jesus. I know if you will, you can make me clean. Jesus says, I will. Look at it. Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. He touched the untouchable. And it was nothing but pure grace. Nothing but pure mercy. Boy, don't you ever think you saved yourself. Don't ever start thinking you're something. Well, you're something, all right. You are greatly loved. Yeah. See, I see you in my mind, because I'm a grandfather now. God, if Lily came, she had some horrible disease. I'd die before I'd let her not be healed. I'd take it on myself, and that's exactly what he did. He took it on himself. By his stripes, we were healed. I remember Isaiah, when he saw hundreds of years before the cross, and the Holy Spirit showed it to him, boy. He says, what I saw, he's trying to describe it. Read Isaiah, what the vision that he had. He said his visage was marred more than any man. And some translations say he didn't even look like a man. Looked like some kind of meat hanging up there. Is it a deer? What is that? Didn't even look like a man anymore. Well, we know that didn't physically happen on the cross. I mean, they whipped him all right, but not like to produce that image. What produced that image on that cross? You know, it got dark for the space of, what was it, three hours, I think it was. Couldn't see why. On that cross, he bore every sickness, cancer, leprosy, everything. Now, and what Isaiah was seeing is that it's so transformed, it's so everything, every hellish thing that sin and death has brought to man. He bore it. He bore it right there. Just like I would take it for Lily if I could. He took it for us. And with his stripes, with what he endured, we are healed. We've got to change our belief system, that I may be found in him and that I may know him. Jesus knew the Father, and he did his best to convey to us what he knew. And he is telling us healing is easy. He would also say, I already paid the price for it. I paid the price. Don't be like the leper didn't come with any offering. Did you notice that? He didn't come and offer Jesus anything. No good works, no money, no nothing. He just came, worshiped him, and said, I know you can make me clean if you want to. And that's all that Jesus needed. I want to be thou clean. But notice when he touched him, though, Jesus, if you'd have interviewed him right after that, he'd say, well, it wasn't me that cleansed him. It's the Father in me that cleansed him. But let me be more specific. It was the Spirit of the Father. It's that Holy Spirit that the Father gave me that delivered the bread of healing to the leper. Is that not wonderful? Raise your hands and just say, clean. He touched me. He touched me. And I am clean. He touched me. And I am clean. I am clean. He touched me. I am clean in my spirit. Clean in my soul. I declare I'm clean in my body. He touched me. And I am clean. Hallelujah. Now one more. We'll finish with this one. In that same chapter. Now here the man came and he interacted with Jesus directly and he got his healing. But now notice the next one.
Verse 5, when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion. Now, that's a Roman soldier who had 100 soldiers under him. He is a Gentile. He does not even have at this moment, he does not have a covenant with God. He's not a Jew. But he approached him, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. Hallelujah. But the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. And all he means by that, under the law, it was not lawful for a Jew to go under the roof of a Gentile. He's just being very courteous. He said, no, you don't need to come under my roof. Now notice. Notice again, the leper came to receive healing for himself. But here a man comes who needs healing bread for somebody else. This is right in line with our service today. Notice what he says. No, I'm not worthy, Lord, that they'd come under my roof, but speak the word only. If you underline in your Bible, please underline, speak the word only. When Jesus was tempted by the devil, that's all he did. It is written. It is written. It is written. He spoke the word only. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. This man understood authority. I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, and he goeth. I say to another, come, and he cometh. To my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. Now, what is Jesus calling great faith? A man who understands the authority of the spoken word. Speak the word only, and my servant. Now, Jesus at that moment is the only born again Son of God. Not born again. The only human on planet Earth with the life of God, the only Son of God, the only begotten at that moment. Later on, he's the firstborn of many brethren, but at that moment, he's the only representative, the only family member of God on earth. How do I say it? You understand what I'm saying? He had to speak it. He was the only one. He would speak the word only. Okay? He was the one. But how many of you know he is the firstborn now of many brethren? You are a child of God. And Jesus said, Father, the same way you sent me, I am sending them. You speak the word. We've got to understand when we speak the word only, we have got to understand authority like that man understood authority. There is no higher authority than the word of God. When we speak the word, that person will be healed. Did you see? The guy didn't stutter, did he? Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. It sounds like he listened to Jesus preach that message in Luke 11, doesn't it? I don't know if he did or not, but it sounds like it. Ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be opened unto you. He said, you speak, and my servant will be healed. We've got to come to that same understanding. Now, see, we're not told anything about that servant. We're not told anything, and I think it's on purpose. The servant that's homesick, we don't know if he's a good guy, a bad guy. We don't know if he's a Jew or a Gentile. We don't know if he's a liar and a thief or a good guy. And I think it's purposely left out. Because the focus here is so you can know as an intercessor, you can come to the Word of God and you can get healing for somebody else. We can deliver the bread. Say it with me one more time. Healing is easy.